Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
When the whip comes down, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United out of the Champions League, but Benfica march on. It's Wednesday, 16th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you. It's Mittwoch, as they would say in Germany. Midweek, a Wednesday, as we say in the UK. Good
it's
to see
Mittwoch
you.
Of an English Avoca as well, isn't it?
Oh, Andy.
Because we've got a full load of football this week.
A full load of football. Vish, do you regret that, being a Manchester United fan?
No, we've had our turn. We've had our turn and we've ruined it.
Yeah, and you've taken a turn. No, you haven't taken a turn. This was kind of Atletico Madrid going to Old Trafford and winning 1-0. In the Champions League. Who could have predicted it? It was vintage Atleti, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I said for the Spurs-United game on the weekend, the 3-2, that it was as if a child had come up with that game, given how it transpired.
Mm.
And this was the adult coming in like, no, you can't do that.
No.
No, this isn't how football works. You've had your fun.
Yeah.
Now sit down and shut up.
Here's a little lesson for you.
Yeah, write some lines on the. It does feel like, actually, when you're playing against Atletico, certainly when you're supporting your team against Atletico, you're watching them write lines on a blackboard. yeah. over and over again.
It's so, it must be so frustrating. I mean, I can remember being very frustrated. Jim hates it when I go on about this. When Arsenal lost to them 2-1 on aggregate in the semi-final of the Europa League in Wenger's last season. And Arsenal should have won the Europa League that season because they hammered them in the first leg and managed to get not win and draw 1-1. Mm. Whereas Manchester United, on the other hand, actually did all right getting a 1-1 draw in the first leg. You know, we're going...
Well, yeah, United were dreadful in the first leg.
Yes.
And the fact that they got them back, it was almost like, right, we were bad, but they were also bad.
But it was a sort of a touch Atletico stuff from Manchester United to go there and actually not play very well, even as you say, Atletico weren't great, and then get out of there with a very respectable result.
But it was, I mean, you say that, and I'm not being wise after the event here, but you say that they got very lucky.
Yeah,
Manchester United got very lucky in the first.
They
leg.
Needed.
No, that's but that's
they
my
needed
point.
Atletico,
but it wasn't. So, but Atleti don't. So I didn't look at this game.
No, against Arsenal in that one.
Oh,
I was
sorry.
They were very lucky. Right. Arsenal should have won that game 2-3-0. But sorry to go on about that.
I think the retro side of it is quite interesting because you were talking about the children being told they're having no fun anymore. To me, it felt like Atletico were the children. Mm. Manchester United were Father Christmas. They were like, "What would you like?" I would like to be my 2016 self again for one night.
Yeah,
is that okay?
What would you like,
we
Diego?
We can make that happen.
Just the one goal. That's all we need. What was quite interesting was I totally forgot that after the game in the celebrations, Luis Suarez was among them. He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that.
I saw him.
You looked at me like David De Gea looked in the post-match interview.
haggard.
When I saw him dancing around Luis Suarez, I just thought, I had the same thing. I was like, oh God, yeah, he's obviously there, isn't he? And I just thought, actually, even if he wasn't, he would have snuck in, wouldn't he? just to rub it in.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say something to the camera. You know, that would have been... If he'd have played, I think he probably would have done. But there we are. But David De Gea, though, mentioned him there. He was absolutely despondent post-match interview, as one could understand. And it was put to him that it's another trophyless season for the club. And that was that was Jeff Shreves-esque, I thought, that kind of question finish, wasn't it?
No, I mean, but it's an important question to ask a guy who's been there throughout it and who's been one of the best performers over that period
of time. No, it's a bit Shreves that you've just been beat, you're out, you can't believe he's going. Well, and of course, there will be no silverware. David, you do know that.
Yeah, but for a team who kind of built themselves and continue to perpetuate this myth on on silverware and on success, then I totally understand why you'd ask that question then and there. He's a senior player, that's the kind of question you get asked and you front up and... I suppose he did, and he's, you know, I think the issue is, though, that, like, it's you wouldn't say it's solely on De Gea that they have another trophyless season. But
no, that is fair. But I don't think it's on Rangnick either. I'm not saying he's been perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Who's it on, Andy? Pin it on someone. Go on.
Well, the players, mainly.
Oh, and the Glazers?
And the culture. Yeah, the culture of the club, which is part of the same thing. But I thought for the first half hour, they did pretty well.
They did?
They put Atletico in a position where they weren't comfortable. You look at, say, Marcos Llorente, for example, who was... the right wing back, but made to do more right back stuff, which he's not very comfortable with.
He ended up having a great game, though.
Yeah, he won the ball back so well.
He did eventually. Mm. And I think Rodrigo De Paul was part of that by going out to help him. De Paul had possibly his best Atletico game yet. He's struggled to settle. But I think the thing about that is, if you were making a brief for why Rangnick can get them in a good place, it would be that first half hour. But after that, the press dwindled. Everything became a little less precise in terms of the passing. Atletico were left more time on the ball and were allowed, I think, to get into the game. And I just felt, I don't know, just looking at that, I just felt if you were going to make an argument as to why United aren't fit enough to do what Rangnick wants them to do, that would be it.
Did it surprise you that Ronaldo started?
No.
I did see what he did against Spurs, by the way, everybody. Just, but when you're talking about the pressing, you're talking about Atletico Madrid, you know you're going to have to work really hard.
And he was part of that. I thought
he did okay.
Yeah, well, he made a real effort for that for the first half hour. But the thing is, if Ronaldo's doing that, you know he's going to have to pay the bill for it later.
Yeah.
And he was.
Yeah.
If you look in the second half, when United were trying to get back into the game, and apart from that, well, I suppose you can call it a double save that Oblak made from Varane and Ronaldo, even though the second one was pretty much catching practice.
Yeah.
Apart from that, United were very, very unthreatening. And a huge part of that is every time Ronaldo got the ball against, say, Ronaldo or Renan Lodi, if he came back to help, which he didn't really need to do that much, he was never going past him. There was nothing left in the tank for him to have that little bit of speed over, over 2 yards. It was incredibly flat as it went on. There are so many problems with this United team. And one of the biggest problems is the fact that the appointment of Rangnick is just lip service, really. You know, what is he doing? I mean, to me, it felt like he was going there for a stock take. Now, the stock take's been quite revealing in a way, because he's been able to look at the team and say, this is what I want to get them to do. This is how short they are. These are the things we need to improve. But because it's Manchester United, because you need instant improvement and instant results, obviously people are going to get ridiculously over the top. I mean, look, I don't want to coat off a particular pundit for a particular view. But Paul Scholes, afterwards saying that if you swap the coaches over, it's a different result.
Well, Ferdinand sort of put him in his place when he said that.
That's not right, is it? I mean, the fact is, we have seen with Manchester United in recent months, if they had Diego Simeone, well, the players just wouldn't have it, would they? They're not open to the ideas. They're not prepared to listen. I think it's evident from what they're doing on the pitch. They're really half-hearted about their commitment to making United better, and that is the environment of the club, unfortunately.
Do you think that's it? Do you think it's the commitment of the players and you know, is what Andy's saying there, Vish?
Yeah, I suppose I want to avoid using the word commitment, because I think a lot of the discussion around United, a lot of the words used are, you know, typical words that we use in football that basically have no meaning about. So it's like commitment, desire and things like that. I think it's a case of want, really. And I think a lot of the players that United have brought in have come in and been sold a dream that hasn't been realised. And I think of Bruno as the latest one, really. When Bruno came in, he was the ultimate firefighter, essentially. Mm. And he's got to a stage now where he thinks, right, I've been here for over 2 years now and you haven't improved anything around me. Nothing around me is any better.
But when he first
it's just
came,
a walking
at least,
ball of frustration,
but,
isn't it?
Yeah. At least when he first came, the team was kind of built around him.
Yeah.
So for that case, you know, if he's scoring goals and he's the main man, he can probably live with that.
Yeah, sure. But like it would have come with obviously they spent a decent amount of money on him, but it would have come with the idea of right, we're gonna move forward, we're gonna have a bit more structure. And what happened, I think personally, is that United got too comfortable with basically giving Bruno Fernandes a Superman cape, and he got too comfortable wearing it, which is fine. But it got United out of, you know, some big holes, and it ended up being quite a good short-term fix, all told. You know, he was brilliant. And now, as Andy says, he's just a big ball of frustration now. And because the way they have recruited, you look at that squad, and it's a talented squad, but everyone's been sold on a different lie. You know, even someone like Jadon Sancho, sold on a different lie, sold on a different wing, yeah? And he's happened to work it out himself. And the knock-on effect of that has now been someone like Marcus Rashford, who looks... You know, he came on yesterday and he was just dreadful. I think he gave the ball away four or five times in consecutive touches or something like that. I can't say I'm too surprised, though, with where things are at the moment. I met the Rangnick appointment more than halfway, and I quite like some of the stuff he's doing. I really appreciate the honesty. I think the honesty maybe only comes from someone who knows they're not in it for the long-term job, that they can be a bit truthful.
Yeah.
But essentially, United, when they hired him, they could say it was because they weren't sure if they were going to get their two first choices in Ten Hag and Pochettino. But bringing in someone like Rangnick, who, as I said, I like, it was a bit like they've basically written off the rest of the season.
It's exactly that. It's like someone's coming in to sort of figure out what's wrong, to tell you, you know, do you need a few spare parts or do you need a new boiler?
He's a football auditor, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And the whole problem is, it's not the fact that he's probably not going to be coached beyond this season. It's what will he be beyond this season? Because the whole phrasing of like consultant role,
yeah,
I mean, it's so muddy. It doesn't.
You can choose how often you consult with a consultant.
Yeah, exactly, Vic. And it doesn't imply any long term commitment to his ideas. It doesn't imply or make clear any like definite sphere of influence. You know, he might be able to have an input on the next head coach slash manager. To me, consultant says, we'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go brilliantly straight away, we'll probably pay you off after 6 months and you'll, you know, politely disappear into the background. And that's the problem, is more short-termism. If you're getting him in to provide a philosophy, it has to be medium to long-term. And they've never really shown a commitment to that.
No. Damning stat on Twitter from Colin Miller said, since David Moyes, Manchester United haven't won a Champions League home knockout game. They've scored only one goal. Just sometimes it is helpful and nice to remember the past. as they trudged off the pitch, apparently there were screens around the ground showing pictures of Erik ten Hag, presumably showing the Ajax.
Talking of teams highlights. That don't win a Champions League knockout games at home.
Well, we'll move on to them in a minute. But I just want a little mention, though. When we talk about this, and football's a funny old game, Elanga's effort that came off Oblak's head, and it does go down as a good save, because even though you can say we didn't know much about it, the fact is his positioning meant that he saved it.
It's Schmeichel-esque, isn't it? Filling the goal.
The thing is, that goes in. I know it's a basic thing to say, but it does change it. Then, of course, at the other end, he doesn't pick up his man. But great work from Felix and Griezmann.
The thing we should say about Atletico yesterday, you know, you mentioned back to their 2016 best. I think the real throwback for me was how much quality they have with how little of the ball they have in attacking spaces. Everyone makes correct decisions, and João Felix's touch is so silky, even the little, you know, back heel layoff.
Well, it's nice to see him do that, because, Andy, we were a bit concerned when he went there, because he's quite a flary player and quite a creative player, and you think, is he going to be wasted at Atletico Madrid?
It takes players a long time to adapt to the Atletico way. When you look at Tom Lamar, for example, it took him a really long time to fit in. I always think there's been a bit more of Atletico to João Felix than people like to admit, because he is headstrong and he is feisty, and they've managed to work with that. And I think the most remarkable thing that Manchester United have managed to do over this last 3 weeks, they've managed to get Atletico back into form. You know, they've salvaged their season, because that first half in Madrid in which Atletico played, I think to that point, their best performance of the season, they've managed to build on that. And for that reason, because of that first half in Madrid, even though they didn't quite get the result they want, and because of the no away goals thing, the Elanga equaliser wasn't consequence free, but it's not as consequence heavy as it might have been. You know, if they go in with a 1-1 where the away goal counts, it's a completely different game.
Classic yesterday. Man United, they could have just closed it out for a 0-0. and that would have been that. But we should say that Diego Simeone, it's his sixth win in seven head-to-head ties against English sides, which shows you just how frustrating it is for English sides, but he knows what he's doing.
But the weird thing is, though, they're not that Atletico anymore. Manchester United have simply made them look like that Atletico again.
Well, but
they cannot defend their own box, and United made it easy for them.
True. I understand you say they're not that Atletico, but some of those players have memories and can, you know, go back and play some of the old hits, of course. Diego Simeone ran off the pitch at full time, and regrettably there were missiles thrown at him, which is a bit pathetic, to say the least.
I was trying to work out where that came from. Was it because was he goading the crowd in any way? I couldn't see any of that. I didn't really understand.
He sort of ran down the touchline.
He does that after every single Atletico game.
He does.
Was he goading them like during the game? I didn't see any reason for them to do that.
There's no reason at all. Even if he ran down giving it the big one.
It was just pathetic, really.
It was. Does he get to the dressing room like quickly, so when the players come in, you know, I've been expecting you.
He's still trim.
Is it first come, first serve?
maybe. Gentlemen, there was another 1-0 away victory in the Champions League last night. Benfica, of course, beat Ajax 1-0. Nunez with a late-ish winning goal. Benfica a step closer to ending their European trophy curse. Is that how it's being spun in Lisbon today?
No.
do they like people mentioning it and jinxing it?
Oh,
you're going to win it now.
They're the ones who mention it. But it was a good smash and grab job for the Fika, Andy.
Yeah, it was. And Darwin is such a great player. I mean, a really good header from him from the corner. And they had a chance just before that from a corner where Vertonghen should have done a little bit better.
That was a wonderful header from Vertonghen because...
Lovely to hear his name.
There's an angle from behind the goal where it looks like he's totally misread where he is on the pitch. Because he heads it with such certainty and it basically goes halfway between like the far post and the corner flag.
Yeah,
but Darwin ends up in the Premier League next season, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah, he's such a good centre forward. And for that sort of game where you want a defensive effort and basically your centre forward to run his arse off, perfect.
Yeah, indeed. Andy, Ajax, I mean, they looked the better side and had most of the chances. They'll be very, very disappointed. But how are Benfica faring in the Portuguese league? I mean, that's
terribly. This is the only thing they've got left.
Well, that's right. I mean, you could say...
Must be nice.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you look at, you look at Manchester United and Atletico, that would be the same, well, obviously for only one of them now, and then Benfica too. I mean, it was, that's such a marquee result. You saw the way they celebrated at the end, quite similar to Atletico as well. And the efforts of Nicolas Otamendi and Yang Vertonghen, of course, helped them out with this victory.
Yeah, they did. And you know who's really great in front of them? Adel Taarabt.
Yes.
Do you know
he
what?
Had a good game. And do you know
I
what?
I heard that name mentioned, I thought.
For the headed... The headed clearance.
Is there another one?
But
the funny thing is
Erik ten Hag was quite controversially saying before the game, well, of course, Benfica had to play with 10 men for 82 minutes plus stoppage time at the weekend. So, you know, I think they might be a little tired. What he failed to mention is that Taarabt was the man who got sent off after 8 minutes. So he wasn't very tired.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How's Taarabt getting on with Benfica? A different role for him playing, presumably.
Well, it was Bruno Lage who brought him back into the mix because he signed for Benfica, didn't play for the first team for 3 years because it just didn't work.
And then every now and again, like some Taarabt highlights from Benfica's like B team would pop up on social media.
Him kicking the corner flag.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's still there.
Good. Yeah, a couple of loan spells to Italy. And then Bruno Lage said when he came in, right, everyone starts from zero, like Taarabt in training, and stuck him in this sort of deeper central midfield position. It's an exaggeration to say he's a defensive midfielder because obviously he's next to Julian Weigl. But he has, on the whole, been pretty good, and Benfica fans really like him.
It's a fascinating career.
I love it.
It is.
It's like all the early Flair stuff was him getting out of his system. Mm. And like, I'm sure he has that now, but like, you know, I think of his championship season with QPR when they got promoted.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, like, I know people, you know, it's a criticism when you say someone's found their level, but I thought he found, like, his enjoyment space. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can be anything you want here.
Yeah.
Just stay here.
They're very much the words of Neil Warnock as well. But, I mean, there was always that rumour, wasn't there, that Warnock would fine him if he came back into his own half. Kind of thing. In other words, you just stay out there, you just do your stuff. And have a bit of a free role.
And is there an argument that...
He only trained like twice a week and
is
all
there,
this.
Is there an argument that harms him as a footballer?
Whether that's true or not, it's believable, but...
Well, yeah, there is embellishment involved. I realise that, yeah.
You know, also, like, telling a footballer you're going to fine them for something doesn't put them off doing it.
No, exactly. that is a very salient point. But I think with Taarabt, you know, back in those days, he was a lot younger, so... We've seen it with much more talented players, like Ronaldinho, for example, at PSG, when he would turn up and he wouldn't just lie on the treatment table and sort of doze off for the first bit of training and all this kind of stuff, Andy.
But what's remarkable,
yes,
Marcus, is a player like that gets to a point where he gets it.
Well,
that's amazing.
That's the most remarkable thing, is that here he is now playing in a very important Champions League game in the knockout phases against a superior opponent where you need to have a bit of grind.
Yep.
And Taarabt's in the middle of the pitch doing all that at the age of 32. Nobody, and I do mean nobody, could have predicted that when he was kind of just trudging around the pitch at QPR and sort of just, you know, curling them in from you know, 25 yards out for fun and so on. Clearly he had talent, but clearly his attitude wasn't the best. And as you say, Bruno Lage's taking a bit of credit there for moulding him into a Champions League starlet.
You know what you were saying, like at the start of this, when we were talking about it, is this a different Adel Taarabt? You could cut together two sets of highlights, you know, from his defensive midfield stage now to how he was before. Yeah. And you'd have to convince yourself it was two different players.
Yeah, you would. You absolutely would. There we are. But he's through. the boys of the Benfica are through to the next round. It's interesting. And I think the draw is this this Friday. So,
do Benfica fans sing Tarap's Too Good For You? Because that was a great one at Loftus Road.
That was good.
I
very much enjoyed that on the odd occasion I went down there. Excellent stuff. All right, everybody. Let's have a quick break. And after which, we're going to have pep talks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science, in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new, puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Well-known discussion point in football that Harry Maguire has a big head. He's able to spread the load.
Spreading the load, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday and it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink water and relax!
Hello, everybody.
Can I say, off the back of his post-match press conference after the Palace draw, if they lose the title to Liverpool and it goes down to the last game of the season, what is his post-match interview going to be like?
That's what I want to happen this season. You've raised my expectations so much, I just really want to see that.
He just cover himself in honey and be like, I'm ecstatic. I love watching Liverpool play.
Oh, Nathan, come and lick this off me. Ah, dear. Some of you emailed show at footballramble.com or tweeted us at footballramble with your questions and queries and conundrums. And this is from Andy Petrie. And I'm going to read this one, Andy, and it'll become clear why. Andy emailed us back in January asking about how to protect his young son from some of the spicier languages that we can hear on the terraces. And Vish and Andy were on that show as well. So we pick it up from Andy. Hi, Ramblers. I messaged you recently for advice about my six-year-old son learning band language at football. Vish reckoned it would be okay. How predictable. And Andy said that fans would not swear near him.
Did I?
Fast forward.
Terrible advice.
Well, gentlemen, fast forward a number of weeks and I've been called in by his teacher to explain why he's shouting, "Whoa, you're shit!" in the playground and calling the other team in games a shit Crystal Palace that he learnt on an away trip to Bromley. What I need to know is, can I use the pep talk you gave in my defence, and can I call Andy and Vish as witnesses for me?
See, the issue is here, Andy, that you've made a dreadful mistake in taking your son to football in the 1990s, which I can tell from the "whoa, your shit" app.
But people still do that, as Aaron Ramsdale knows.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
Andy, you're the one in the dock here.
Yeah.
Okay, don't know you went to
In my defence, I thought we had parliamentary privilege in this room.
Andy, that's the kind of thing you need to be coming out with. Fish gets it. That's why he's being yet more deceitful.
The
criminal mastermind.
I don't think people email in the show, we give them advice.
Yeah.
Maybe the kid has bad vibes. We've mentioned it before. Say it again.
It's the child's fault.
Maybe it's the child's fault, actually.
Some people are beyond saving, is that
because,
what you're saying?
Yeah, because, you know, shit Crystal Palace, oh, I get it. Whoa, your shit out. I'm gonna need more detail. Is he saying that when someone's kicking doing a goal kick? When a teacher walks in the room? I'd respect that, actually.
That would be very good.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Ooh, is it turning the handle?
Yeah. And if it's a substitute teacher, well, there we are. Can you call Andy?
You're just a shit Mr. Burton.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That would be
I would like that.
The substitute
apply
teacher,
it.
Wouldn't it?
Apply what you hear at football to the classroom.
So, what we're saying is encouraging start. Let's get him to the next level, Andy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mr. Petrie, feel free to call Andy and Vish. You can find their number in any red telephone box in London. And I don't know if you can use that pep talk in your defence, but give it a go. Why not? Eh? All that kind of nonsense we do like to encourage on the Football Ramble.
I've got an email from Martin on Teesside.
Oh, yeah.
After Chelsea's muggy request to play their game against my beloved Borough this Saturday behind closed doors, seriously, who do they think they are? I've inadvertently been dragged into the discourse. Of course, this pales into insignificance compared to the people suffering in Ukraine, and I think that's worth mentioning at every point. Anyway, I've not got a ticket for the game because I'm disorganised, and having children, I love them, is still a pain in the arse. However, I'm even more desperate to go, hopefully to see a stick one on them. So how can I get into the game? A few tickets are being sold today, but I don't think I'll manage to get one. So the only option I can see is to sneak into the near empty away end. How do I go about it? Do I pay homage to one of the classics and sneak through a laundry basket like Jose? What about getting there hours and hours before kickoff, don a high-vis jacket and stand there innocuously? Maybe even a parachute jump. Any suggestions on how I can snag one of these empty seats? I will, of course, take a microphone and record an episode of At The Match in return for the sage advice so many of us come to you idiots for. Cheers.
There will be empty seats in the away end. Some empty seats.
Why can't Martin just do what anyone else would do and dress as one of the mascots?
I thought you might say dress as one of the players.
Well, that's a possibility too.
Jimmy Jump.
It?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you can't encourage someone to break into a football ground and so on. I think what he should do is that he should get his laundry basket from home, whatever it is, and just someone just place it outside the stadium and just see how you get on.
Yeah, like I've got even one with wheels. No, like, we've got one at home and it doesn't have wheels. It has a little white, bag in it.
People try to pick it up. What? It's wet, these clothes.
God, why is it someone's dirty laundry? Should we take that into the ground with us?
Well, we've got loads of washing machines in there.
Where will we put it? Where are we going to put it? There's loads of empty seats. I mean, about it.
Yeah, I mean, Martin, maybe he gets stuffed in one of the machines. He gets a free wash. You know, everybody's happy.
Worst case scenario, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Worst case scenario.
All right. Sorry, what's this human being doing here? In other words, in the dirty baskets, we've got to wash it, haven't we?
Well, there we are. I think we've solved that one for you, Martin. Let us know how you get on. Sheriffootballramble.com for that kind of nonsense. Excuse me. Right, gentlemen, there was some stuff happening in the Championship last night. Fulham lost only their second game in 14 league games. They lost Steve Bruce's West Brom 1-0. God, blimey, eh? Sometimes you just got to hold your hands up, haven't you, Vish? When Steve Bruce out tactics you.
I mean,
they've been so good, Fulham. What have they got, 90 goals or something they've scored this season? Plus goal average of 58 or 56. Whereas Brucey knows how to get a clean sheet. We saw him do that at Newcastle United. And he's applying these tactics.
Again and again and again and again, yeah.
But like Atletico Madrid, 1-0 was enough.
Is that so you're going to throw that comparison and let it hang in the air, are you? You compare what Atletico Madrid, when they won La Liga, made a name for themselves.
All right, fine. If you're going to be flippant about this, Andy, is Steve Bruce the Diego Simeone the Championship?
Well, I think we've all come to a conclusion on that, haven't we?
Yes, I think we have. But it was a great win. And he was typically inspiring in his victory. He said, we've taken 7 points out of nine, and now the pressure is on all of us to get a result at Bristol City on Saturday. Of course, West Brom, they're in the mix. They want it. They're looking at a promotion potentially this season. Can we repeat that performance? Who knows? Well, you'll give it a go, won't you, Steve? It was not acceptable, and I think they realised that too with their performance against Swansea. Maybe that was the low point. I hope it is anyway. Just, you know, the man's only got so much control over the situation, hasn't he, Andy?
Yeah, that's clear.
There's so many teams between them and the like at the bottom of the playoff, though. I mean, like, it's all well and good saying that. And probably, you know, obviously he's not going to give it up, but feels like it's a bit of a long shot.
It does feel like it's a bit of a long shot. And it's a shame for West Brom because earlier on in the season, they were going. But they're now 12th, which is surprising. But this is the Championship. You win a couple of games and you sneak into sixth and you can go up through the playoffs. That is the beauty of it.
And it's always the team who sneaks into sixth that have the momentum.
They win the Champions League, yes, exactly.
And they win the Championship League. Absolutely right. Fulham, though, they're still looking good. And Bournemouth have got a couple of games in hand on them. And they are 11 points behind them, though. But Fulham are 14 points above Huddersfield. So Fulham, I mean, they're surely going to get promoted. I was banging on about them winning the league earlier on in the season, which looks like a fairly safe prediction, unless Bournemouth can pull something quite impressive out of the bag. My other prediction was Harry Wilson would get player of the season in the Championship. He scored a nice one against Barnsley.
He did.
He did miss an absolute sitter to win the game. But there we are. We shall see.
Can I tell you, you're missing out.
In Steve Bruce fashion, we shall see.
You're missing out on the most exciting night, well, at least for me, of EFL action in League One of the recent past. In the Wimbledon didn't play, all their rivals for relegation played. And if they'd picked up points, well, Wimbledon would be in the bottom four now. But no. Gillingham lost, Morecambe lost, Fleetwood lost, Crewe lost. So the teams just below and just above Wimbledon. Oh. So it's the best night Wimbledon have had for a very long time without actually playing. We haven't won for 19 games.
That's absurd.
We're still not
in won in 19.
And we're still not in the bottom four.
How many of them have been draws? That is piss poor, isn't it?
It really is.
Have a word, Andy. Come on.
Well, the whole league. Everyone down there. Bloody hell fire.
I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. You could look
isn't. There's just one here, Andy.
No, you could look at it from the perspective of how we're not in the bottom four. You could also look at it from the perspective of if we just won like two of those 19 games, we'd be in an amazing position.
Be
like,
third clear. In the league. Yeah. My goodness. Back to the Championship, though. Do you see that Tom Ince scored in a 1-1 draw? Reading playing Bournemouth, of course, to help his dad out. That's nice, isn't it, Fish? That's a lovely one.
You make it sound like he's you know, every now and again when you get called into the garden to help your dad.
Make it sound like he's the kit man and he's registered before the game. Honestly, I've seen him. He's a player. Trust me.
Come in.
That is nice.
Don't hang out with your friends. Come and score a goal.
Well, that's a nice one, though, isn't it? I mean, they're playing a superior opponent in Bournemouth, of course. And they need some results themselves, Reading. You know, they're 21st. Just 2 points now above Barnsley. Above the relegation zone. So stop the rot. They'd lost three on the trot. And an important point it was for Paul Ince's boys. Dominic Solanke, though, scored his 22nd championship goal of the season, which is quite a fair few behind Alexander Mitrovic. It's ridiculous, isn't it? He scored 22 goals in the championship this season. Very, very good tally. And then when you think about old Mitro, who did miss a chance last night, he's nowhere near him. Derby County lost 3-1. Against Blackburn Rovers, despite Ravel Morrison's goal for the Rams. Nice to hear his name. Derby, we have been dreaming of Rooney keeping them up this season, which would be a hell of an achievement, Andy, of course. But they've lost five in their last six. They are 6 points from safety as well.
They played still, a game more than everyone as well.
That's still an incredible position when you consider where they were.
Andy, if they get relegated, it will be a great shame because of what Rooney's done to put them in the position. I understand you're right. The fact is they're still in contention, but the games are running out. Now, I know in the Championship,
The games never run out in the Championship. I refuse to believe that the games do run out in the Championship.
I know at this stage of the season, Andy, if I may, that there's still 25 games left. Okay, but they will eventually run out. And are you worried for Derby now? That's a bad run they're on. Lost five in the last six.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, you know, you look at Blackburn are one of the better sides in the division. So I think you have to be realistic. It's lovely to see Ravel Morrison popping up with a few recently.
It is. Who would have thought, eh? Who would have thought?
Come back home.
I was going to say, maybe he's the answer to Rangnick's problems at Manchester United. No, we do know that. I don't need to end that by saying who knows. Gentlemen, then, on to tonight's action. Lille versus the aforementioned Chelsea Football Club. Once again, the uncertainty over Chelsea's ownership has clouded the build-up to this match. Yesterday, of course, as we mentioned in Pep Talks, or I suppose alluded to in Pep Talks, rather, that Chelsea announced with extreme reluctance they had requested to the FA that their game against Middlesbrough in the FA Cup could be played behind closed doors. Of course, it is at the Riverside in Middlesbrough. I think everybody's aware of that now, and everyone's had their say. Chelsea's statement said, "We are asking the FA board to direct that the game be played behind closed doors for matters of sporting integrity."
And then Steve Gibson got his pen out.
Indeed, he did. They went on to say, "Chelsea FC recognises that such an outcome would have a huge impact on Middlesbrough and its supporters, as well as our own fans who have already bought the limited number of tickets that were sold before the licence was imposed. But we believe this is the fairest way of proceeding in the current circumstances." Middlesbrough responded, saying that the suggestion was both bizarre and without any merit whatsoever, and also said, "All concerned are well aware of the reasons Chelsea have been sanctioned, and this has nothing to do with Middlesbrough Football Club. To invoke sporting integrity as reason for the game being played behind closed doors is ironic in the extreme," which is a lovely retort, Andy. I think we can all agree.
Yes, I think we can. And what to me is remarkable is that in recent days, I think people have gradually, in general, started to become aware of not all Chelsea fans have been chanting for Roman Abramovich. Mm. And there are some that are concerned for the future of their club and were there before Abramovich and will be there after him. We spoke about this on Friday at some length, obviously. And with the good work of the Chelsea Supporters Trust and the Chelsea pitch owners, it felt like there was a bit more of nuance and understanding about the position of Chelsea supporters at large, not just the noisiest and most obnoxious at some of those games, such as the away game at Burnley. And this is a great example of how a club and its supporters are two totally different things. Because just with one short statement, the club have undone a lot of that good work that the fans have done, which I find obnoxious, infuriating, unfair on those supporters. Just, read the room.
They withdrew the request according to the FA, though.
Yeah, but they'd already said it by then.
Yeah.
Well, it was never going to be shunted through in the first place. They've made themselves look terrible and they can't really take that back.
The only thing that I would have thought, okay, fair play, lads, if they'd have gone, "No, we were only joking." That's the only thing.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, you've that's already, how ridiculous it is.
You've already shown us where your head at was it with this. You've you've shown us exactly how much responsibility you're willing to take, and how much you think, I suppose, of what you've done, and whether you consider it wrong. The idea that it's Steve Gibson's absolutely spot on. It's writing sporting integrity on that, and like someone. You know how these things work. We've all worked in institutions where there's a lot of box ticking. Statements don't get put out until they're read, reread, and then reread by sometimes three tiers of management. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them went through that and thought, yeah, that's probably fine.
Yeah.
No one is going to throw that in our face.
Yeah, I think it's a good example.
Let's remind them.
When people do read through a statement, they only generally read the first two paragraphs. Because the first two paragraphs of that statement, you're thinking, okay, fair enough, we understand the position of the supporters, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third paragraph is, whoa, it goes way off in a completely different direction.
Because also, but also like the lack of self-awareness to think that, right, well, why wouldn't then, you know, someone come to you and say, right, all your league games are going to be behind closed doors now?
Yeah. It's remarkable, isn't it?
And also just the, like someone, you know, there are people complaining about it saying that, right, so you're happily going to rob Middlesbrough of making money from this tie because obviously, you know, FA Cup games, get receipts, half and half. And then someone who obviously hasn't been paying attention as a Chelsea fan was suggesting, well, no, you know, I'm sure Chelsea will make it up to them. They literally can't. They literally can't. You're getting a megabus to Middlesbrough, mate. You can't pay anyone.
Indeed. Well, speaking of transport travel, I mean, obviously they're playing in France tonight, as we said moments earlier. They're away to Lille in the Champions League. Now, as we know, in France, there were reports recently that the game may not go ahead because of EU sanctions placed on Roman Abramovich. However, it looks like the game is set to be played. UEFA stated, our understanding is that the present case is assessed in the context of the licence issued in the UK, which allows Chelsea FC to continue minimal football activity whilst providing a safeguard that no financial gain will result for Mr. Abramovich. I mean, they continue with minimal football activity. It's the European and World Champions are talking about it. Just blimey, absolutely incredible. But UK government, of course, have sanctioned, the sanctions that the UK government have brought in have reduced the budget Chelsea can spend on travel to European away games. And after their win against Newcastle at the weekend, Thomas Tuchel said of the trip to France, we can go by plane. If not, we can go by train. If not, we can go by bus. If not, I drive a seven-seater. And Kai Havertz said he would pay for travel to away games if required. I mean, we're getting on to it. I mean, people will then start saying, well, these footballers are wealthy enough, they should play for their own travel. But that's not really the point.
Can I say the thing that annoys me the most about this is it's underlining how environmentally unfriendly Premier League clubs are in particular.
Like, it's not just limited to football, though. Like, as someone who covers cricket, like, it's the sport at that level is comically bad for the environment.
But I just, like, flying to Norwich for an away game, what is justifiable about that? It's nowhere near justifiable.
I don't know, the little bag of pretzels is always quite fun on the plane.
Yeah, some people might not have been aware that Norwich has an airport.
Would you get through the bag of pretzels in a flight of that length? I'm not sure you would you?
Depends how bad.
You'd have to rush, wouldn't you? Yeah, you might have a George W. Bush situation. Good joke, couldn't you?
No, that was George Bush. I think his father.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, when he was sick on the...
No.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant wolfing down.
No. Well, if there's an issue, you can't finish it. You're just circling the air.
I don't think that was to do with gluttony. I think he was genuinely ill.
Oh, okay. Too many pretzels.
But, it's quite funny. But the thing is, because it's so ingrained now, that... I know Tuchel got a bit of stick saying that, it'll be a hassle taking the 10 hours. Like, it will be, you know, that kind of travel drains you, and they've got it down, the top Premier League teams, top teams in the NBA and all other sports where there is a lot of travel involved, they've got it down to a T of, like, how you operate, and planes are a huge part of that, as are things like sunglasses that help you condition if you're travelling to different time zones and things like
that. Does
that work? Yeah, it works really well, yeah.
Okay.
But it will be interesting for the longer trips in the Premier League, even. I suppose even we're going to see on the weekend for Middlesbrough, as we said, that it is going to affect them on the field. Above, you know, I suppose of the things that should affect them, it's quite low down on the list that should affect their, you know, their state of mind.
Having said
it's going to have an effect. Yeah,
you see La Liga players on trains a lot. a lot.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't
Well, you see, Premier, you do see United travel, you know, obviously they book out entire, like, trains, basically, but they do that for London trips every now and again, yeah.
I mean, that needs to be, you know, the bare minimum, though. I find it just absolutely remarkable. And let's get it straight. England is not a big country.
Yeah.
Geographically, it's not a big country. There's no excuse.
No excuse, everybody. Brussels. Crack the whip. Okay.
Dave Angel, eco-warrior.
While they're up against the French champions, they've got to beat them, Andy, if they want to progress to the next round. That's how
and
it works.
They will. And the fact that Renato Sanchez is injured and got injured at the weekend is the straw that has broken the camel's back, I would suggest.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the game is tonight, so we just have to wait a little bit longer and then we can enjoy that one. Also tonight, a little bit of Premier League, of course, Arsenal versus Liverpool.
Oh, that's a big bit of Premier League.
Oh, a lovely little chunk.
I think we're blowing the Champions League out of the water here.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come into our tent.
You can get the train here. Andy and Jim, you're going to be in attendance with old Jimmy Campbell. You're going to be recording an At The Match.
Yes, we will be.
Oh, I look forward to hearing that when it's available. And of course, after Man City's draw at Selhurst Park, Liverpool can close the gap just to 1 point. And Klopp said he wants Liverpool to be as annoying as possible to Manchester City in the title race. So that's that would do it. Andy, a victory tonight, you'd have to say. Whereas Arsenal can go 4 points above your beloved Manchester United with a win here. Mikel Arteta said of the match, being able to beat the most informed team in the country would be really, really big. So that's the aim tomorrow. He said that yesterday.
And they've got a couple of huge games left, haven't they? Against Liverpool, that is. They've got Liverpool, they've got United to come as well. They've got the rescheduled Spurs game.
And Chelsea Arsenal, as well, yeah.
Arsenal have given themselves a great platform.
They have.
But now they have to go through that door.
And are you going to the Emirates tonight? I want a prediction out of you.
I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw, Vish.
I think it's going to be
2-1 Liverpool.
2-2.
So you're going for draws. I think Liverpool might just nick it with a late one.
Okay.
And you're going to capture Jim's disappointment on the mic.
Don't say that.
You're the one doing it. I'm not. Blimey.
Yeah, you're going there to expose him.
Yeah, to
I'm not going to the Emirates to expose Jim.
You're just a grief tourist, Andy. you're going to the Emirates with Jim. You didn't want to go against Leicester.
No,
you didn't want to go when they're on their little lovely unbeaten run. What is it, 5 wins in a row, first time since 2018? You would see Liverpool come to town.
That was predictable, wasn't it, Vish?
Exactly.
You see Liverpool come to town, you want a piece.
Indeed, yeah. Well, you're going there and to see what Jim's moral integrity is like, presumably. So make sure you capture that before and after the game. Elsewhere, of course, Brighton versus Spurs. Spurs will need a win as well to try and keep up their fourth spot ambitions. So all to play for in the Premier League tonight. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review, everybody. It helps new listeners find the show. We will love you for it. Let's grow this community. Let's love conquer all. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Andy, you're back with Kate and Luke.
Yes.
Sock it to him, pal.
Yes.
Give him hell. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitush Nantarajah.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.